Everyone, I'm Madonna Guy, and this is David Scheel.
Hi, everyone.
We're naturopath, holistic counselor, kinesiologist. We've got all sorts of qualifications between us, but today we're going to talk about acceptance. And I think at the moment, there's so much going on the planet. A lot of people are really feeling their energy, feeling really drained and exhausted because there's big stuff going on at the moment. And it was sort of funny, about 5, 6 years ago, I remember sort of almost opening myself up to the energy of the planet, Mother Earth, whatever you want to call him, her, it, they, them, and sort of say, okay, whatever's going on, I want to know. And so it put me in a really nice place to just learn what was really going on with things. And sometimes people can't accept even what's going on in their own lives, much less what's going on the planet.
Sure.
So David's been saying that with some of his clients, acceptance is way more useful than forgiveness.
It can be.
Yeah.
It's just that in some circumstances, forgiveness is very difficult.
Yeah.
And
I think in many circumstances.
okay.
Well, don't you think? You know, because if someone's done hideous harm to us or our children or to our parents or something, then how do you forgive that? How do you accept that? You know, it's but I think one of my clients says, she's a Christian. She said to me yesterday, love the sinner, hate the sin. You
Right.
know, so sometimes we have to be okay with what's happened, even though some crap's gone on in the background.
Yes.
And where I was sort of went with it from my kinesiology perspective was a map of consciousness. So when you were talking about acceptance this morning, then my brain automatically went to the map of consciousness because it's been something I've used within kinesiology for, you know, 25 years probably. So therefore, if someone has a specific health issue going on, and we've talked before how a high ACE score, so the more trauma we've had as a child, the more likely we are to end up with higher all-cause mortality. Just about any health issue is more likely the more trauma we've had as a child. So one of the things you can do with kinesiology and holistic counseling when you're getting to the bottom of things and getting this understanding and acceptance going on is that you can raise someone's vibration so that instead of living in that shame and guilt and blame, which lowers the
And re
vibration
rejection.
and rejection, it lowers the cell of every, it lowers the energy of every cell in your body. So why would a cell that's been abused want to thrive on the planet? And I sort of said this to one of my guys who was a ritual abuse survivor, and he'd had chronic fatigue his entire life, like for 60 years when I met him. And I said to him, because he'd been working on his chronic fatigue forever, and I said, well, if that happened to you with the people you love and trust most in your world, why would your cellular energy give you plenty of energy to go out there into the world? It doesn't make any conscious sense. You know, your cells will do everything to shut you down to keep you safe, you know, which is where our vibration can get lower, our safety mechanisms can get higher, so we do less so that we don't get traumatized and hurt.
Which often makes people isolate, which
Yeah.
isn't good either.
No. And I think we've chatted before, isolation and loneliness has the same risk factor as being a heavy smoker when it comes to health issues. So isolation and loneliness is very damaging for the human. We're meant to be humans who love other human beings. That's what we're meant to be. We're meant to be social humans. So when I was working with the map of consciousness, and it's easy to pull one of those up online and, you know, grab a copy of it and work with it where you're feeling, like people who do meditation or prayer or whatever. And, you know, if you're feeling uncomfortable about a particular thing, sort of working out where you're sitting. You know, am I angry? Am I feeling embarrassed about it? Am I feeling ashamed? You know, occasionally Teddy talk, my 8-year-old grandson, occasionally he talks to me about feeling embarrassed about things. You know, like he doesn't want to get into his togs in front of the boys in the dressing room already at 8 years old. And because he's a little bit tubby and he's been bullied, you know, for a couple of years. So that's not very nice, but it's part of the pecking order. So how do you accept this? So anyway, acceptance and forgiveness. Over to you, David.
Well, so in therapy, so there's actually a style of counseling called accept acceptance and commitment therapy.
Yeah,
It's called
right.
ACT therapy,
Huh, okay.
right? And basically, but the same principle gets used in counseling and psychology. And I'll just give an example from here that in ACT therapy, but the same as others, acceptance works by actively allowing uncomfortable thoughts, emotions, and sensations to exist without judgment, resistance, or attempts to control them. Instead of fighting distress, you acknowledge it, which reduces its power and it frees the energy to act on values.
Yeah.
Right? So it makes space for us to go to our values instead of getting too absorbed in the emotions and the thoughts and that type of thing.
Because sometimes we get angry, but we don't know why. Or we feel
Well,
embarrassed, but we don't know why. Or we feel guilty, but we don't know why. And sometimes it's because other people are making you feel that way. So it's not actually yours. But
Sure.
anyway.
But my approach of taking it is that one way is that whatever's happening in our life is our journey, like our karmic journey or our learning journey. And that if you can look at it more like that, right, this is my path, this is my road. I was given this for a reason, possibly, and then you can make meaning out of it more,
Yeah.
because meaning is a big part of getting through in therapy, like trying to work out meaning from whatever's happened to us in our life. And it doesn't excuse what happened, except it's just that it's a way of managing things in a way where because everybody has difficulties. And my personal experience by going, I accept this as my, because it's not just like a, right, so something bad happened, so now something bad's happening to me.
Yes.
It's more seeing the whole thing as the test I'm giving in this life. And by accepting it, something seems to reduce.
Yeah.
And it seems to work in a different way to something like forgiveness, which there's a therapeutic style forgiveness. But acceptance often works better with people,
Yeah.
because it's an accepting of your own reality.
Yeah. Yeah, acceptance says I can't change what happened, but I can change what happens next.
Right.
Next. So it's, I think we were chatting about this earlier and I was arguing with you because I found it in the past, just because someone accepts something doesn't necessarily get them to that next step. You know, so because maybe they've worked with therapists and they get to that acceptance, but they're still not forward thinking. So we've got a couple of cancer clients at the moment, and with both of them, one of them's forward thinking about 3, 4 years, but the other one's making it through till Christmas, which is better than where she was. But it's really hard when someone's being told over and over and over by, say, the medical profession, you know, that, you know, you've got this and you've got this much time. And even once people break those rules and they're getting better and better and they're lasting longer and longer, their brain still half believes what the doctors have told them. They've accepted it, unfortunately, and it hasn't worked in their favor.
Well, also there's something about when you have a chronic condition to
Yeah.
accept it, accepting it's part of getting through it and over it, like accepting, right, this is my challenge now,
Yeah.
and then then it becomes more real
Yeah.
than in a state of denial or
I
something.
did actually see a study. I'm not sure whether it was counseling or psychiatry, and I know it's all in the same bag as long as you're getting heard and listened to and, you know, support. But there was a study on long-term chronic illness where people who did see a counselor regularly, those people actually did add longevity to their life
Right.
on top of the chronic illness. So they and were more likely to be able to live their life with more happiness,
Right.
you know.
Because counselling can reduce stress significantly,
Yeah.
and
And
stress
stress
just,
can increase pain.
it's a risk factor for so many things. Stress,
Yeah.
whatever it is, it makes it worse.
Yeah.
And getting some calmness is a helpful thing.
Calmness is very helpful. Anything we can do to do that. And again, I know, you know, we're a double income family, so I'm a tool girl. You know, I love my grounding mat. I love my, you know, terahertz wand. You know, I'm sitting here with a red light on my lower back because first world problems, I've got a, you know, a bit of a sore wonky back at the moment. So, you know, first world problems, you get that. But yeah, so I sort of like, I can't imagine living life having to be beholden to what the government told me to do for either mental or physical health issues.
What's that?
I'm not willing to accept that. Oh, you know, I've always taken my health into my own hands. You know, I've been, I've seen someone medically 3 times in 35
Right.
years. Yeah, so I just don't do it.
Well, I guess I'm a complimentary person, so I like the best of both worlds to but I've had some illnesses, so that's just the way it works.
Yeah. But yeah, so acceptance, so there's actually a therapy. I didn't know. What's it called again?
Acceptance,
ACT.
acceptance and commitment therapy.
Right. Yeah, so when we were, because with forgiveness, you know, and I know you've sort of quoted the old Bible on occasions where you sort of said, you know, Jesus was on the cross and he said, God, forgive them. They know what, you know, so he didn't do the forgiving. He gave it up to the higher power to do
Right.
the forgiving. So sometimes, you know, it just, I think that's just a useful thought because sometimes we can't forgive and then we feel guilty that we can't forgive. So we add guilty to the basket of stuff. You know, because people say, oh, you've just got to let this go. You've got to let this go. You've got to forgive them. Sometimes people go, yeah, it's not within my range of
Well,
skills.
something's happened to people asking people to forgive them, maybe a bit of an insult.
Yeah.
But there's two sides of forgiveness you've got to remember. One is forgiving, but the other is being forgiven.
Right.
Right? And so forgiving ourselves can be a
Yes.
thing because it's a bit of a, people treat it like a bit of the moral, you've got to forgive others.
Yeah.
Whereas actually we also seek forgiveness too.
Yeah.
And part of that's being sorry.
Yeah.
And even like my experience often when you're ill or having problems, you do sometimes you become reactionary and then you need to seek forgiveness from the people around you
Yeah.
who you've burdened with your illness sometimes. I've
Yeah.
experienced that. And then, because they get it's hard for people to take care when you're not 100%.
Yeah, and when someone has laid guilt on you or shame on you when you're a kid, because a lot of the stuff that we treat people for as adults, you know, it's because of belief systems they've built up as
Sure.
children. And adults have created guilt or shame in the children. And then as adults, we still have never forgiven ourselves for what we did as kids. And whenever I have those clients in, and I'm like, what would you, as a granddad, say to your grandson at 12 years old if that had happened to him? And then you'd say, well, it wasn't his fault. And you go, of course it wasn't his fault. You need to let go of it. So you need to be able to put yourself in a situation where people can understand. You know, like I'm thinking about the poor traumatized people around the world who are now seeing what's been released by the White House. There's going to be a lot of trauma out there and a lot of people who are empaths will be feeling that collective trauma on the planet at the moment because it's opening some new people's eyes to it. Some people have been aware of it forever, but some people, their eyes are just being, and it's there's going to be this collective trauma. So the sooner, and again, whenever I talk about the map of consciousness, one of the things that I remember is that as a human race, our consciousness is getting higher. So the 20 years that David Hawkins actually spent doing the million muscle tests to find the frequency. So this was old school kinesiology. It wasn't devices. It wasn't anything else. It was old school kinesiology, working out the frequencies of shame and blame and acceptance and forgiveness and enlightenment and all sorts of things over 20 years. And as a general rule, the whole consciousness of a million people had gone up by about 20 points over 20 years.
Right.
So people are becoming more awake. And I think this is what we need to make sure we don't get pulled down into the fear and the anger and the frustration and the lack of accountability and all of that sort of stuff because it doesn't help. It doesn't
Right.
help.
That's
So the sooner we get to acceptance of what is, that allows us to see it, turn the light on, open our hearts to what we need to do because.
Well, let me go through a couple of things on how the mechanism of acceptance works.
Yeah.
So, stopping the struggle. Clients often see that therapy, they often usually seek therapy to fix or avoid pain. Therapy shifts this to accepting that discomfort is a natural part of life.
Right.
Then mindfulness techniques, these are used in ACT therapy. Techniques are used to stay in the present moment, observing thoughts without becoming entangled in them.
Yeah, nice.
Diffusion, learning that to see the thoughts as mere words and images rather than absolute truths or commands, which detaches you from their harmful effects. Or energy realignment, The energy previously used to suppress emotions is redirected towards living a valued life. So it has some sort of detachment thing. And the reason they say it's effective is because it makes the emotions lose their power.
Yeah.
So when you stop pushing feelings away, they become less overwhelming. And it reduces suffering. Struggle can often cause more pain than the emotion itself. Accepting removes secondary layer of suffering. That's interesting, isn't it? The struggle often causes more pain than the emotion itself.
Yeah.
And so also it promotes compassion. It fosters a more.
So if people are saying, I refuse to accept it, it shouldn't have happened,
Right.
that struggle. Yeah.
And that's internally, like in some things they say the cover-up's often worse than the crime.
Yeah.
So we do that to ourselves. And
Yes.
so we can because the struggle causes more pain than the emotion itself. So by
Yeah.
accepting, you can slowly work with that layer.
Yeah.
And of course, these things happen over time. They're not easy, and they do take time to
Yeah.
reprogram.
Yep.
And then it says it fosters a more compassionate stand towards oneself. And that's a big thing because if we haven't been loved or accepted, growing up, it's like it's some type of kindness we can give to ourself,
Yeah.
which is really important to go easy on yourself and allow things to slowly change and improve.
And that's where that working on the inside is so important. Doing the work on ourselves so that it's easier to be by ourselves or with ourselves or with our own thoughts. Yeah. Because until we start to heal ourselves, we're not going to attract the right person in our life as well. So while we're still a person who's broken or holding on to resentment or judgment or fear or shame or guilt or something like that. And what do you say? Even loneliness, they all have a frequency. So who are we attracting when we're putting out that frequency? You know, we're attracting someone with potentially the
Right.
like.
Because there's another thing about trauma is that it mismanages trust. So people often who are traumatized find it hard to trust. And acceptance is one of the basic foundations of trust.
Right.
And so and because often when we're traumatized, symptoms are automatic. We can't control ourselves either. Like
Yeah.
we mightn't be able to control our reaction to something. And so
Yes.
we've been hurt, but then we hurt in turn.
Yeah.
And so through acceptance, you can kind of tone that down a little bit over time. And also, you've got to work out your own method. For example, I'm like I'll take it as, I call it a karmic journey because I'm influenced by yoga and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so by looking at that, you go, oh, this is my whole thing, and so when I have negative thoughts come up, I go, no, this is my journey. This is my journey. And that actually makes them dissipate and become less. It's an
Yes,
interesting thing.
it is. It is. I was just thinking, as a naturopath, I help people through their karmic journey, the
Right.
ALM, I see.
Right.
Helping them to create more calm.
C, okay, both are good.
They both work and they both are very useful. What I
Such
like
as the
it.
same sound.
It is. You know, going back a few years ago when I was really putting my toes out into the world of sort of how the world worked and the people in control and that sort of thing. You know, I was listening to a lot of Lori Ladd, and she talked about when we're not paying attention to anything, and we're just living our life and, you know, just trusting the process without thinking too deeply about anything. We're in the third dimension. It's like we're in the matrix, you know. And then when you start learning about stuff and even about yourself, because I've got a lot of clients who have never thought about their journey of health or trauma until they come and see someone. So they've never put it together. And sometimes they are saying throughout a session, oh my God, I've never told anyone that. Oh my God, I've never thought about that connection before. Oh, you know, and they sort of then go, my dad abused me, my brother abused me, my great, you know, so they sort of just talking through these things and they've never put it out there. They've never gone into the fourth dimension, which is about learning. It's like looking at everything, it's putting it all on the table. And it's not real pleasant. You want to get back into the matrix, back into the cocoon, where it's nice and pleasant and fun and warm and cozy, where you don't have to think too much about it.
Right.
And and then the fifth dimension is, of course, more the spiritual. You know, it's when you've risen above it, you've gone into that acceptance phase, you've gone into that, okay, this is life. I've got my warm inside the inside. And it's okay, even though you know a whole bunch of stuff. Takes a bit of time to get there, though.
Oh, it sure does, actually.
Lifetimes for some people.
For some people.
Yeah. And that's what I often have. I've got people with these spiritual beliefs, and they go, I do not want to come back and do this next time,
Right.
which is sort of cool. But yeah.
So acceptance sits on this line with forgiveness
Yeah.
and harmony.
Yes.
And it's above optimism and hopefulness, which is
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah. So where David Hawkins found that the average person on the planet was, and when he, this book is like 20, 30 years old, it was around 200. Was the average person on the planet, and 200 is sort of around that neutral, you're getting a bit of courage, you're sort of getting to trust, things become feasible, you're feeling more appreciative, you're starting to find your purpose. But one of those questions that I often hear a lot of people say is, well, why am I here? And I, half the time I think, what a stupid question. But I'm lucky, I sort of knew what I was meant to do. 30 years ago or 35 years ago. So where have you ever had a client sort of say that to you? Why am I here?
Well, kind of in more or less.
Because I often, one of my joking questions, but it makes them think is, well, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Right.
You know, because it doesn't matter how old they are. It's
No, well,
sort
it's
of
like
fun to
Tom
get
Robbins
people to
says, it's
think.
never too late to have a happy childhood.
Yeah. Yeah. And from that perspective, one of the things that I often do with acceptance as well is getting people to recreate specific vision. So especially when they're going through kinesiology, sometimes their brain, so their little reticular activating system in the rear of the brain, if you have had a bit of a traumatic day because you've been navel gazing, talking about your childhood, all this stuff has come up, sometimes your brain then wants to sort it out at nighttime.
Right.
So it's a reticular activating system that has dreams, or it's involved in dreams. So I had this lady once, and we were doing some stuff about her dad, and he wasn't real pleasant, blah blah blah. And then she had this awful dream about her dad. She actually cancelled her next appointment with me because she felt so guilty that she'd seen her bad dad in a bad light during the
Right.
dream. And it wasn't until she finally came back and she said, "Oh, I couldn't come back. I felt so guilty." And I said, "Oh, what happened?" And then she tells me about this dream, and I said to her, "You realize that's because we did some kinesiology. So your unconscious brain was just trying to weave a pattern together, to let it go." I said, "That's actually a really good sign."
Well, dreams are incredible things. They've dream interpretations out of fashion at the moment, but right at the beginning of when counseling and psychology started with Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung, that's the main thing they were doing with dream
Sigmund
analysis.
Freud.
Yeah, Sigmund Freud. But they were doing dream analysis.
Okay.
And if you do come across that, there's really good Jungian dream analysis online now.
Right.
The AI works out.
Oh, yeah, right.
I've been
AI.
working with some people with dream analysis, and it's
Yeah.
really, really good, actually.
Yeah.
But you can do that yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And sort of like I like the map of consciousness often shows us where we're sort of fitting in that paradigm of heaven to hell. So
Right.
when we're down in the old, feel everything feeling hopeless and we're despairing and there's regret and there's been tragedy, that's sort of like the hell on earth.
Yeah.
And purgatory is more when we're raising above that, but purgatory is still like the anxiety, hate, feeling antagonistic, everything being disappointing, and then we can lead to drug intoxication, suffering, mental illness, being really narrowly conscious. That's sort of the purgatory area. And then by the time we're getting up into happiness and productivity and our forgiveness, optimism, acceptance, that's where we're in between. And above that is paradise, and above that is heaven. So bit by bit, and it doesn't mean we have to be in one spot for all of our lives, So we might actually have a job that we really love, and that can be paradise on earth. Whereas if you're in a traumatic relationship where you and your best friend are fighting or something, you might actually have a portion of your life where you're in this turmoil. And it's when we start to get to that spot where it spreads out across our entire life where things just feel more even and balanced, and it doesn't have to be like that. It's okay to have some antagonistic stuff going on occasionally. Makes it works out
Oh,
the
it's
bubbles.
inevitable.
Yeah, but it also helps us to work out what our moral stand is on things or what our belief systems are on things. So if we never get challenged, you don't work those things out either.
Right. Yeah, I was just thinking that Viktor Frankl, he was in I think he was a priest, and he was in the prison camps in during World War II in Germany. And his view is he had something called logotherapy, and he says acceptance is not passive resignation, defeat, or liking a bad situation. Rather, it's a courageous, proactive acknowledgement of reality and the unavoidable fate. It's the foundation upon which one can stand to find meaning, even in the most miserable circumstances. And Viktor Frankl, when you study counseling, he's like a really major underlying theorist in like a lot of things.
And sometimes acceptance is about our boundaries as well. What will I accept? What won't I accept? So it's one thing to accept things as they are, and especially when stuff has been in the past, but it's another thing to go, okay, I've accepted that, but now I'm refusing to move forward with this same level of whatever that is. You know, so it helps us to put our back, because some people, again, they've never thought of their boundaries. If we've seen abuse, if we've seen trauma, if we've seen,
Well, they're all boundary violations.
yeah. And as a child, if we're not allowed to be children by having a loving, carefree childhood, then it's easy to lose sight on what our boundaries are. You know, I remember once, and I think I've said this before, but I was chatting to a client about, no, maybe this will get us deplatformed. I won't mention that.
No, don't do that.
There was a comment made during the session that, oh, well, something always happened to people in those days. And it was like, really? You know, and it was sort of like this awareness from the practitioner of, oh my gosh, some people actually believe that everyone got abused or that everyone was traumatized or
Well,
everyone was violated. And sometimes there's so much of it in their little world where
yeah.
they live that that's how it feels.
That's part of the problem is that most people in the world are good people. And just generally, most people are just good, they want to live their lives and enjoy things. And there's a small minority who have more intense, because if you go through the adverse ch the ACE scores, the people with higher ACE scores, they're a very smaller percentage of society. But when you grow up in an environment where that's normalized, right, you can develop a very negative impression of the world, even within a single family system, that has so much burden on your life that you look at the world like with that level of mistrust or lack of acceptance, and so you tend to withdraw rather than go out and live your life the way that you want to.
And sometimes when we are trying to justify what we did in those moments, if we've been abused or traumatized, or if we did some abusing and we did some traumatizing, because no one's perfect.
Well, they say hurt people hurt people.
Okay.
So
Yeah.
people get hurt
Yeah.
people hurt people.
Yeah. So if someone, and then sometimes in order to make that okay for them to forgive themselves or accept themselves, they change the history, what actually happened, to make them feel okay about the whole thing. However,
Which is a type of
if,
masking.
yes, but if they're children, they were still children. It doesn't matter if they were hurting people, they were still children. And they were traumatized by something that allowed them to be that person who traumatized. They still need forgiveness. They still need love. They still need
And acceptance.
acceptance. Yeah,
It's like if
absolutely.
you've got a person in your family that's a bit wild. Do you know what I mean? They need acceptance as much as anybody.
And everything's okay. It's okay to feel hurt. It's okay to feel angry. It's okay to feel, it's just not great to push it out on the world around you.
Because acceptance is a little bit like forgiveness. It's got two sides. One is that we want to accept, but also we want to be accepted. And so, when we grow up with that, unacceptance sort of thing, we can also be on both sides of that. That we, because we want to feel accepted as well as,
And you know, I sort of often think When I was doing counseling kinesiology like 25, 28 years ago, whenever it was, and I remembered Gordon Dixon does counseling kinesiology. He's amazing here in Australia and he does it online as well. And one of the things that he sort of said was that our brain is constantly trying to fix us from when we were young. So if we've got, say, a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, and we were abused or traumatized at that age, that can bring up our unconscious patterns from that time when we're seeing our children, even just at that age. So we can be acting out with those children without even really realizing it. So when you have small people around you who are, they can be a trigger without being triggering themselves. So sometimes we think we don't like the child, or we think that child is a pain in the butt. And sometimes kids are a pain in the butt, don't get me wrong. But it's more along the lines that that might be bringing up our memory from when
Right.
we were traumatized at, two,
And
four, six, eight, ten.
that's really common, and that's kind of part of the way generational trauma works.
Right.
Because you can see in the history of families and people that some of these things go on for generations and they
Yeah.
don't get resolved. And admittedly, there weren't as many tools
Yeah.
in anybody's toolbox like two generations. Like people who grew up in the 70s, like there was very little counseling back then, very little understanding of psychology. Like for example, they only developed the like post-traumatic stress disorder
Yeah.
like in the 80s,
Yeah, right.
right? So, and that was after the Vietnam War, it became an important thing.
Yeah.
And so post-traumatic stress disorder was only made into a thing in the 80s.
Yeah.
And before they called it something like what in the Second World War, like a, but they only started treating it from then in a more significant way by more outlining what it is. Because in the last 50 years or so, there's been a lot of good work done in psychology that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
So, you know, you see generations back, people just were self-reliant and, you know, just forget about it, let's move on.
Yeah, except often they didn't.
No.
So the amount of clients I have in, and they sort of, and I say, well, what was your, what was going on at the time? Well, my mum was this and my dad was that. And I go, well, did you have much of a relationship with them? They go, well, mum was beaten and abused and dad was in the war. And I go, and my first thing I always say is, because I want people to forgive their mum and dad because it's better for themselves. So my thing is, can you imagine what it would be like going to war and having to do those things that people had to do? Someone was talking to me yesterday, and I can't remember who it was, but Nagasaki, is that a place in Japan?
Yeah, it's
So
where
it was
the second nuclear bomb went off.
right.
Hiroshima followed
So
Nagasaki.
who, I can't even remember who it was, sorry, but and I wouldn't tell you anyway, but it's, but it would give me more context. But her brother was one of the young Aussies who was sent there. And again, imagine how traumatic that would be. Like I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what these people go through living in a war-torn situation like that, or being part of an army. And of course, that's going to screw with your brain. And then, of course, they weren't supported when they came back home to their countries. They weren't
Yeah.
supported.
Oh, the Vietnam War.
Oh, any war.
Right.
So,
Well, the Vietnam War was worse because it became a
yeah, but they
war
weren't
thing.
supported. They
No.
weren't told to go into a room and talk about your feelings. Mums weren't told what to do when dads woke up screaming in their beds with PTSD.
No,
Like,
well,
no one talked about it,
yeah,
which is what my
that's,
clients have been telling me for 20
well,
years.
see,
So,
there's a couple of things with that, like with especially the Vietnam veterans.
yeah.
I've watched countless videos.
Yeah.
And one thing is that trauma seems to 20 years later it hits.
Yeah, right.
Like childhood trauma, people start pulling it apart in their 30s and 40s.
That's
And so
interesting.
after Vietnam, it was like a, because a lot of veterans, when they came back, they didn't even tell people that they were a veteran in the war.
Right.
And that was in the US and Australia. So no
Right.
one just, they just didn't talk about it because it
Yeah.
was an unpopular war. And so, you know, they were getting called things like, you know, baby killers and that
Yeah.
sort of thing, whereas they were just doing their job
Yes.
and they were often conscripted.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
Yeah. And there's lots of countries around the world that still have conscription.
Right. And it did cause problems with their families.
Yeah.
And, but it was often a 20-year delay before they started seeking out help because they were able to manage it until
Yeah.
then.
Well, 20 years is interesting because in my kinesiology, that's often how long people have the ability to hold on to second stage stress fall before they fall
Oh,
apart into chronic fatigue.
that's
So
interesting.
that's sort of when you said 20 years, I thought, oh my gosh, it's that same, you know. Normal stress, they're sort of like this bell curve. So a normal stress, our energy goes down, we sleep on it, we have a few dreams, we, you know, whatever, we wake up the next day and we're nice and balanced. But when we hit this chronic stress, our energy actually goes up into second stage stress, and it's in alert for, you know, years and years and years, and about 20 years is what people can manage before they fall apart. And
Right.
then third stage stress is when they fall down into the ditch and they can't get up again.
Oh,
So
right.
yeah, first, second, third stage stress. So it's an interesting, yeah, and that's just how long it's about the adrenals, of course. So it's how long can your adrenaline last, keeping those boundaries up and running, keeping
Which is
that
thing in fight and flight.
emotional gear at bay, keeping all of that. Yeah.
Now, here's something about acceptance from Viktor Frankl's style. So it's shifting from why me to what now?
Right, yeah.
Right. So the therapist helps the client stop asking why they suffer instead ask why, what life is currently expecting of them.
Right.
So, because why me is something that people often ask, why has this happened to me?
Yeah.
And because there's a different like explanations, because all the different religions all have a different explanation for that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, moving into mood of acceptance is a thing, and self-acceptance later in his philosophy became an important part that arises from openness to oneself and accepting of external
Yeah.
reality.
And acceptance can be immediate, whereas you don't have to forgive. So
That's
you
right.
can keep yourself in a
That's a really
forgiveness
good point.
cycle, whereas acceptance, at least you can go, okay, it happened. What next? You know, and it's an old yogic trick. I remember someone saying this. Actually, it was in a book by Dan Brown. And there was some skinny yoga chick that, you know, the Tom Hanks character obviously got onto. Anyway, so there's this yoga chick, and she one of the questions that she would ask is, well, what's the solution? You know, so if you come at everything with the fact that what's the solution or what's next, your brain has the ability to start thinking about things.
Right.
Whereas if your brain goes, oh man, I'm screwed, you know, you're screwed. Of course there's no next.
Well, the acceptant move here from tragedy to triumph. That's the
Right.
goal.
Nice.
Because,
I like it.
why me to what now?
Yeah. I
And
don't
so,
need to wait. Healing can begin.
yeah, so
Yeah.
personal tragedy moves into a personal triumph.
Yeah.
And because often the thing about therapy is that if you get really good therapy, you can end up better than you were before the traumatic event.
Yeah.
So there can be a doubled improvement in a way. Now, you
Yeah.
can never get rid of the scars fully, and
No. And forgiveness is emotional, whereas acceptance is more neutral.
I think so.
You know,
That's
so,
why I like it.
and forgiveness is optional, whereas acceptance is foundational.
That's really good,
So,
yeah.
you know, we sort of can move forward more easily with acceptance in our world. Yeah, so by keeping that acceptance in the foreground, especially when you're moving through something traumatic, can really help you to move forward. And you know, sometimes, and we've chatted about this a bit before, but in fact, I was just thinking about Frasier. You know, so of course, two psychiatrists in the same family in the TV show Frasier. And they both use different, you know, Gestalt therapy and something something therapy, and sort of like, oh, so how's Mrs. So and so? She goes, oh, she's the same. Go, oh, do you think she'll ever get cured? Nah, you know, why would she ever get cured? I'll keep making money out of her for 20 years. You know, it's sort of like this. You know, they just make fun of the fact that this is the way a lot of people, you know, and I know people who have been to counselors for like 20 years, and they don't seem any better. And it's just
That's a real shame.
because something hasn't shifted. You know, there's been either the counselor's just got exhausted, you know, and they just let them come in and bitch about their life, you know, so there's no shift. Why would there be a shift?
There's no victory here.
Yeah, and one of the things that I often mention to clients, and I'll know I'll need to do kinesiology on someone if they've got circular thinking about something. So if they say something to me once, that's one thing. If they say it to me next time, then I'll think, we need to do some more work on that because that still hasn't shifted. If they say it a third time, I start talking to them about it. So, well, why is your brain, you know, we need to work out why your brain isn't moving on from this. Because you should be able to shift these things and move on. If there's a will, there's a way.
Right. Well, according to Frankl, acceptance is a pre-stage before forgiveness, because it says that acceptance clears the inner landscape so that meaning can be found, allowing for forgiveness, growth, and resilience. That's a
Nice.
nice one, isn't it? Because it's all, because his idea was that it was all about creating meaning out of difficult situations, and that's very hard to do. But by clearing the inner landscape so that meaning can be found, allowing for forgiveness, growth, and resilience. I like that.
Beautiful. Well, acceptance and forgiveness.
Well, it was good to have a chat about that just to clear it up in my own, because it's something I've been working through in myself and with different people I work with.
But I'm also thinking from the global perspective because I'm aware that some, like, not me so much because I'm not much of an empath, or if I am, I don't know. I take enough supplements to counterbalance it. But, I don't get too traumatized by stuff going on. But I do know some of my clients are feeling very traumatized because they're empaths and they're feeling this shift in the energy on the planet at the
Right,
moment
I get
because
that.
such big things are happening.
I'm less aware of it.
Like I actually, I'll tell you a funny story. I had this client and she had this wonky eye and she had what's called an astigmatism, which is basically when the eye just starts, but it was only one eye.
No.
And it would happen for 24 hours before a big world event would happen. But it was useless because she wasn't psychic. So it's not like she had any idea about what was going to happen. It would just start going off and she would know that something bad was going to happen on the planet. And then when something bad happened, the eye stopped wonky and she'd think, okay, what was it? Then she'd go watch the news to find out what big thing had happened. And I thought, man, that, like, is there anything more useless than a skill like that?
Right.
So anyway, that was one of my funny ones. But I do, I have had people with quite a lot of empathy going, people who are global empaths, they can feel that global energy.
Yeah, and if you start talking about that, no, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to hear that.
Anyway, I find it amusing. Look, and only because I'm not one, so I would I do not want that energy. Whatever that gift is, I don't need it. I
Right.
don't need it. So I thank you for not giving me that gift. Awesome. Well, I hope acceptance and forgiveness. I hope there was some value for you in there. Cool. Talk to you again soon.
Hey,
Hey.
love your work, Madonna.
Love your work, David.